Olivia, believe you me, a lot of the headlines I've had over the years I've deserved, but there's a lot of them absolutely I have not. You've just told the whole nation that I slept with the best man over the snooker table at your wedding. And they not only hacked my phone, they put bugs in my hotel room on two occasions. Every single week, there was Denise in drug hell, marriage hell, sex hell, this hell. I'm thinking, how many hells could a working mother be in a week whilst raising two children?
Matty's engaged. Mm-hmm. So with all respect to him, Taylor Swift. Denise.
Olivia.
The ultimate hun. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I was so glad that you were happy to come on, and everyone here was, because you, I mean, I was just doing my homework this morning on trying to know where to start with you, because what haven't you actually done? When you go back over the years, you've done a lot.
I have. I've done a lot that I'm proud of. I've done some things that I'm not proud of that I wouldn't want to do again. But I have ticked a lot of boxes.
Yes.
And I feel lucky that I've been able to diversify, because in this day and age, you know, it's, if you want to keep working, you want to keep relevant, you've got to. So as regards Loose Women, despite the other stuff that I've done, you know, in between that, I mean, Loose Women celebrates, well, you know, because you're one of us now, celebrates 25 years in September, and which I've done 23.
2010?
I can't do the maths on that. You'll have to do it. But 23 years ago, I started. So that's 2001, because Louis was born. And people go to me, how did you get into Loose Women? And do you know, I can't remember. I have no recollection of how I got into Loose Women.
Well, you don't remember how it came about?
No, I don't. I remember being in Corrie, and they were filming opposite us when it was called Live Talk, because somebody who was in charge thought Loose Women was a bit trashy, which... the whole point of it, but anyway, never mind. And I remember going on as a guest, and I was obviously so superbly brilliant that they must have just, you know, grabbed me and made me stay as a panelist. And I'm only joking, everybody, by the way. So I've been able to go off, do a TV series, come back, you know, and it wasn't as much of a permanent fixture then. So it would be like on for 3 months and then off. But yes, I've done a lot. When I look back at stuff, that's when I think, God, I am old, and I have been around, you know, a long time.
Well, you know, you've lived an incredible life, and it's very, it's super interesting. And I feel like there's so many areas I want to go into, but staying on Loose for a minute, I obviously joined the panel not so long ago.
Yeah.
We've done a couple of shows together, but I would like to do more. Everyone was asked, how does it work? Why can you pick who you go on the panel with? And I said, you never know, do
no, you?
They send
know.
You an email on the Sunday. You know you're doing the show X many times that week, and then you find out who you're on with.
Yeah.
And God knows how they actually work that out. I'm sure it's a big matrix of trying to get the bit of this and bit of that, so every panel
has... they always think the press, you know, the misogynistic press, including some women who are very misogynistic, always think that it's because, you know, say if you and I hadn't done a show up to now, it would be, why is Denise not doing a show with Olivia?
They love
all of that. Whereas if it was guys,
they wouldn't even think about it.
But, you know, it's also that they love building up this, oh my God, this toxic atmosphere backstage. But I would imagine you're a woman like me who wouldn't put up with working in a toxic environment.
No.
I have no time for it, no need for it. So unless it's a joy to go in, I wouldn't be there.
Like you say, a lot of press has circulated about relationships and there's a lot of opinionated women on the panel. Heated debates come up.
Yeah.
And it, for me, in my experience so far, it stays there. Whereas the press like to be that this person hates this person. They won't work with that person. The catfights.
In 25 years, there have obviously been a couple of people who aren't as close as some of the others. But I, for one, have never witnessed any kind of cat fight or argument. I mean, Carol McGiffin, who I miss desperately on it, Carol and I used to have some humdingers on there because our opinions were so different and still as friends are now.
Yeah.
But it was never taken backstage.
No.
You know, some women have left and they've been vocal about their issues with the show, and that's completely up to them. But I can honestly say I'm kind of, you know, friends with everybody. Like in any show, there are some people you prefer. There are some panels I prefer to others, just because of the dynamics of personalities.
Absolutely.
And what I love is that as well as having, you know, young people who've come in and made an impact like yourself, it is a show in a very ageist world that not only employs older women, but reveres and celebrates the voices of older women. And I think it's very rare on television internationally, not just in the UK.
You're bang on with that. And I feel, as one of the younger members of the panel, my concern when I was coming in was, how would the other ladies feel about me joining? Because new workplaces are always scary, but a new workplace, which is all women...
Well, luckily you're ugly and you haven't got a nice figure, so you didn't have to worry about us all being jealous of you or anything.
What did you think when you heard I was joining? Tell me honestly.
I am always really happy to have new blood on there because we do get bored of each other. But I've always been sceptical when younger people come in.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they may have a great life story, but they either are not prepared to talk about it yet or too worried about what the public are going to say.
Yes.
So therefore, you know what it's like. They'll be in the meeting saying, but I'm not going to talk about that, but I'm not going to talk about that. And it's kind of like, well, what are you going to talk about then? But you came in and you are incredibly open. And the public, took to you straight away. Also, because you've got, you know, all the shows that you've done and everything since Love Island, I suppose, have been dealing with the public. So I think that you really respect the public's opinion. And I think that, you know, that comes over. So I think we all think you're a great addition.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I like that. This has got my compliment. You have strong opinions.
I do.
Don't mince your words. And you don't let the people online silence you.
No.
Where does that come from?
There's always something online. And it's really funny, you know, because it is a bit of a paradox, because I, by nature, am a people pleaser.
Yeah.
I have to work really hard to not be a people pleaser. And so I can stand up, you know, with my head held high against Doris from Darlington, who's trolling me, or the online papers. But I can't say to my cleaner, you didn't dust in that corner today. It's utterly... Or if the bin man shouts at me because I haven't put the bin there, I'll be like nearly in tears because the bin man said something to me. So it's really weird. But I think that I am only very, very vocal on there if I am passionate about something. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, I will sit back and be... People think I'm never quiet, but I am prepared to put my neck on the line if I really, really believe strongly. Listen, I don't live in fear of being cancelled. You know, this cancel thing that you're scared to say anything. But in the last few years, things have got much more sensitive where you are absolutely terrified of saying anything. So there's sometimes I'll be sat there and... we're coming to the end of part one or end of part two, and I'll think of something that I think might be quite funny to sort of take us out to the next part. And I will hold back because in my mind I'm thinking, oh my God, if I say that, they'll think it's about that and they'll misconstrue that. So you have to self-edit much more. I mean, I think the things that I've said that I regret more are probably family-related stuff. So years ago, I was just having a general show. I didn't really think about it. And I got upstairs to my dressing room. I could see my phone, you know, doing this. And it was my sister. And I called her. And my sister's not in the business at all. And I said to her, what? And she went, oh, my God. She said, I've just arrived at the school gates to pick up the children and everybody is staring at me. And I said, why? And she said, because you've just told the whole nation that I slept with the best man over the snooker table at your wedding. And I said, but you did.
Is this the massive wedding you had in Portugal with
This was my wedding to Tim.
Oh, God. Debbie.
Listen, my sister's got a sense of humour.
Yeah.
But
they're not in the business.
It wasn't really what she wanted the other mums at the school gate to hear, particularly.
Your list of shows, theatre, I mean, Corrie, Celebrity Big Brother, you know, Loose Women. Is there anything that stands out as, you know, a really fond memory, a job that you were like, I was at my happiest when I was on that show?
There is a conception that as you get more successful, And with that would probably bring more money, although not always the case in our business these days, but nevertheless, you get more successful, you get more well-known, that therefore you would be enjoying things more, whereas actually that's not the case. Neil Sedaka sings a song called I Miss the Hungry Years. And I love that song because it's about him missing the years of struggle and the happy times when you didn't have the celebrity that we have. And, you know, we all love celebrity when we can switch it on and off, but it has its dark side. And I was hacked for many years when we didn't know about hacking, which was one of the worst experiences of my life.
The big hacking scandal back with the News of the World.
Well, this was with the Mirror Group.
And they hacked your phone?
They not only hacked my phone, obviously the people at the Mirror now are completely different. My relationship is very good with them now. But then it was 2001 to 2007. So I just had a new baby as well who was poorly. And they not only hacked my phone, and this is all on the records, been in the court, I've got me payout and all that malarkey. And they not only hacked my phone, they put bugs in my hotel room on two occasions.
And what were you working on at the time? What were they trying to, what was going on? They were trying to...
Paps have told me since I had a massive target on my back. Olivia, believe you me, a lot of the headlines I've had over the years I've deserved, but there's a lot of them absolutely I have not. And that was because I had this target and I was just good fodder for the press. If I came out of somewhere and the shutter caught me with my eyes closed, I was staggering out of a restaurant when I possibly wasn't even drunk, because sometimes I did drink and come out of a nightclub like a million other people in our industry.
Yeah.
But you didn't know you were being hacked. So the distrust that it caused within even your family circle, because if something has come out in a paper and you have only told one person,
yes,
you never in a million years thought that people were listening into your phone calls. And in fact, last year, ITN News came to me and said, would I be prepared to meet the guy who hacked my phone? And I said I would. Enough time had elapsed. He was given a suspended sentence. He had mental health issues after doing it. It wasn't just me.
So was he a journalist?
A journalist working for the Mirror.
Right.
But he was, this is what really gets me, but I won't go down the line of it. But the top bosses at these papers have got away scot-free. But the people like Graham Johnson and other people who were their minions have done time and had suspended sentences, but they haven't. So he was instructed to hack my phone to see what he could get. I did meet the guy and we actually talked for an hour and a half. It, you know, there was 3 seconds on the television.
Of course.
But it was important to me to help me move past it. Yeah. Remember, I had kids at the time, Olivia, and I have kids, obviously kids now. But, you know, Matty, Louis was little.
Yes.
But Matty was a teenager, you know, going to school. And again, I was responsible for some of those headlines, but every single week there was on one of these weekly magazines, there was Denise in drug hell, marriage hell, sex hell, this hell. I'm thinking, how many hells can a working mother be in a week whilst raising two children? Yeah. And that was mostly as a result of hacking and just pulling off bits of information. And again, when I was doing Waterloo Road, we discovered that even people who weren't being hacked, they were finding out where they were going because of my voicemails.
Got it. So other people who weren't...
There was a ripple effect of people being affected by this. And that's a lot of years that went on for.
Denise, can I ask, it sounds like a bit of a stupid question, but how did you find out that you were one of the people that was hacked?
Well, I found out because Graham Johnson turned whistleblower. So I never had to, in my particular case, I never had to prove that I was hacked. So Operation Golding, I think it was called, there was two, Wheating and Golding. They called me and they said, we have evidence that you were hacked because Graham Johnson, who hacked you, and he's in the public arena, you know, I'm not sort of quoting anything that hasn't sort of been out there. Graham Johnson has admitted that he hacked your phone and he's turned whistleblower. And he now works for the other side. So he's poacher turned gamekeeper.
Can you possibly tell me how that felt in words when you had that information given to you?
I'll tell you when it really hit me is that I was called down to Putney Police Station and I had to sit with them for 5 hours while they had spreadsheets galore laid out of my life over 6 years. And I would go, oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's when I lived in that house. And that information was coming out. I haven't lived a perfect life. In my last marriage, there were infidelities on both sides. We've both admitted that. So I'm not moralizing about anything, but it was my fucking business.
Of course.
Anything that was going on. Yeah. I always say, if you're in a nightclub and you're doing something you shouldn't do and a pap takes a picture of you, it's hands up, Gov, you've got me.
Yeah.
But don't you think you've got the right to listen to my messages and go in my phone?
Of course not.
So when I sat looking at this, all of these spreadsheets and these things that had gone on, do you know, I did feel really sorry for myself because a lot of those headlines really impacted my family. Really, really, really did impact my family so much. There was never a time that I wasn't being, you know, called out for something. As I say, some of it could have been hands up, Gov, but a lot of it was done by that. So I was very resentful about it.
You mentioned your boys.
Yeah.
Two boys, one of who is Matt Healy, lead singer of the 1975. He's obviously found great success.
Yeah.
And he's hugely famous himself now in his own right. How do you navigate that as a parent, having, you know, what you went through being in the public eye? Does it scare you ever?
It doesn't scare me because I think that both my kids were prepared. Neither of my children, Louis's an actor.
Yeah.
Neither of my children have ever seen fame as something to be chased.
Okay.
It has quite horrified them, to be honest. They have always known that as a success, if you make a success of their chosen profession, which is music and acting, that fame will be a natural end result if you become successful.
Mm-hmm.
But it has never been a desire to want to be famous because they have grown up with parents and seen the great side of our industry, but also the dreadful side of our industry, and Matthew particularly, because he was growing up when all of my headlines and stuff were happening. But I think that no one, you know, can prepare you for international fame because I don't have it. You know, if I'm recognised in America, it's because of Maddie. It's not because of me. Oh, my God, it's Maddie's mom.
Well, I was going to say, so if you're not living under a rock, Denise, in Maddie's fandom, you are their queen.
I am their queen. And so when I go to one of his shows, and it's like at the O2, and there's 20,000 people there, which is hard to get your head around, which is 20,000 people there. And there'll be a pocket of them will look up and see me. And then they start to wave. And then the ripple goes out. Then they're all, and then I'm like Ava Perón, like, don't cry for me, Blackpool, or wherever I am, you know, at the top and everything. And they're absolutely lovely. And then Matty will be backstage and they hear this roar and people will go, what's that? And he go, my mother's arrived.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really nice. So he has a very loyal fan base. But listen, I'm a mom. Mm. I worry about my kids all the time.
Of course.
There's an Instagram site called Mums of Bigs or Moms of Bigs about people thinking that you only worry about your kids when they're little.
Yeah.
You worry about them 10 times more when they're grown up. But they don't want you worrying about them as much. So Louis said the other day, I'd rung him about four times and he said, Mum, I was in the shower, he said, but when you ring me and I don't answer the phone and you ring me again and I don't answer the phone, do you think, A, I'm dead? And I went, yes. That is immediately what I think. And so I have to keep ringing.
Two sons who are both lovely, but Matty's engaged.
Mm-hmm.
So with all respect to him, Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I've never really talked about any of his partners, and I certainly won't be talking about that one.
Okay. So now, Swifties, I asked the question. The mum has spoken. She doesn't want to talk about it, as predicted, but now you can't troll me and say, why didn't you fucking ask about Taylor Swift?
Yeah, you did ask the question, but as I say, I won't talk in depth about any of his relationships, so I'm just going to stay off of that one. Thank you very much.
Talking of not talking about things.
Yeah.
Being opinionated, and obviously Matty being in the public eye, and Louis, do they ever message you and say, Mum, why have you said that?
No, I mean, listen, I sit there self-editing all the time.
Yeah.
When our kids were young, regardless of whether our kids had become famous or not, with me and the other girls, when our kids were young, we could say anything about them because they weren't going to sit and watch Loose Women and nobody was going to talk about it at school. But now, not just because of Matty's fame, but, you know, you've got Kay's kids, you've got Nadia's kids. They don't want to be talked about. They're in their 20s and 30s.
Social media.
They don't want to be talked about. If I say anything, it comes up in a great big, in a big headline, which is why I don't, I can talk about me, and obviously I will say, like I've spoken to you, you know, you're only as happy as your unhappiest child. So all you want in life is for your kids, your grown-up kids, to be happy. That's all you want. And I can say, you know, Matty's happy living in Los Angeles. I'm so proud of both of them.
Yes.
I couldn't be prouder of both of them. Louis is a superb young actor, and Matthew's success speaks for himself. 5 number one albums, and he writes all the songs, you know, with George. And that's all great. But yes, I do have to self-edit all of the time because it always goes on, because it goes online.
That makes a lot of sense. And that's, you know, like you say, you're just a good mum.
Yeah.
And you don't want to cause them stress or, you know, pain for, you know, just a one quote
because
that's going to go.
Because of my job. They're very proud of me and they do know what my job entails.
Yes.
But, you know, it's hard for us all.
Yeah. You and your husband, Lincoln, have been married for 11 years now?
11 years, yeah. We just celebrated. We were in Portugal where we'd got married, but that was just a coincidence. But yes, 11 years and it's...
And what's been the secret to a happy 11 years?
Sobriety.
That's...
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Really? So if you weren't sober, do you think you'd be together now?
We wouldn't be together
now.
That's not me being the drink police.
No.
We were, you know, alcoholics, functioning, which I still think is a ridiculous term because you're not really functioning. You're functioning on 10% of what you could function on when you're drinking. But the only thing we have drink to thank for is that we met in a nightclub at 6 a.m. that doesn't open till 4. So had we not been drinking, there is no way that we would have been there. And the way that our lives were at the time, we would probably never have met.
So do you get sober together?
Yes.
See, I didn't actually know that.
Didn't you?
No, I thought it was just you.
No, we got sober together.
How do you as a couple come to that decision? Because normally it's what, if you have a relationship that kind of drink is a big anchor for you, normally it's one side that maybe feels like they want to change their life, whatever. How did you come to that decision together?
Well, apparently, according to a therapist that I don't have therapy all the time. I dip in and out of it. But according to a therapist, we are only we are 3% of the world where two people have got sober together without doing AA. And that's not dissing AA. AA is a wonderful organization. Yeah. If it's right for you, it just wasn't for us. We were each other's anchor. We knew that we had something special, but there was a side to each other that didn't like. So I didn't like a side to him that came out, and I gave him an ultimatum one night, and he stopped drinking that very day.
Wow.
And I continued on because obviously in my mind I didn't have as big a problem in my mind because I was doing a play and I was on tour and I couldn't be drinking if I was doing a play. Anyway, I did, and it resulted in I've talked about it before, so it resulted in us going out one night and him saying to me very kindly, listen, there's Paps taking pictures through the window and I think you're getting a bit drunk. Me, don't you fucking tell me what to do. Blah, 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 usual story. And I woke up and I was on the front page of the newspaper. I had no recollection of anything. I'd pulled the door off the bathroom. I mean, God knows how I had the strength because I'm not a pull the door off the bathroom person.
I was gonna
say. I'm really not. And it was a disaster. And he came to pick me up from the play that night, drove me home, said, I'm going to talk, told me how much he loved me, how much he adored me, how much he couldn't bear losing me, but he couldn't see how this could work. And I stopped drinking that night. And that was April the 18th, 12 years ago. And I've never had a drink since.
Wow, isn't it?
And we have the most incredible marriage that could have been ruined by, you know, ourselves or outside people trying to cause trouble. And my marriage is the bedrock of my life. I will protect it at all costs, you know. And And you do have to work at marriage, don't you? It's not hard work, but you have to nurture it and water it. And it's a huge priority of mine, because it's without that, I start to sort of crumble. So it's been the best thing that I ever did. And the thing about sobriety is that it's not just Lincoln and I's lives that it's changed. It's the ripple effect of the lives of everybody who loves us. So everybody who loves us, lives have been changed. My kids would not be flying like they are if I was still drinking. Lincoln's, you know, son, my wonderful stepson, Lewis, we've got this amazing grandchild now, Theo. And, you know, it would be very different. They would worry about us. It would, my relationship with my sister is great again, because obviously she would be, other people are quite sycophantic around you and, you know, they just want to hang on to your party, you know, coattails. Mm. Whereas my sister would be the one who would say, what the fuck are you doing?
Yes.
And then you get defensive about it. My one regret, well, that's not true. I have several regrets, but my mum died three weeks after I'd got sober. But at least I feel that she knew
that you were heading in the right direction.
That I'd got sober. And I think when I didn't drink, when my mum died, I think my sister said to me, I knew then that this was, you know, that this was going to be it for real. So I don't take it for my sobriety for granted. I don't think about it all the time now. But Lincoln and I, we always talk about, oh, my God, can you imagine feeling like that? Can you imagine doing that? How did we ever do those things? I feel like I'm a completely different person.
Oh, Denise, it's been amazing. But before you go, because I just could talk to you for hours, there's just so much, isn't there? I'm going to subject you
right
to this little game and play with all the guests.
Okay.
This is the box of wrong. They're random statements,
right.
And we're going to decide together if they're wrong, right, or so wrong that it's right.
Right, okay.
Okay. Publicly starting a spat with another celebrity online.
Well, it depends what the spat's about.
I know.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't air a lot of my, it may look like I do, but that's because of online press. I don't air dirty laundry in public, but I will make a statement about something if I think that what they've done has crossed a boundary.
You're not afraid of that?
No.
It's right, if they deserve it. I don't think someone being a celebrity should mean they don't get called out.
No, exactly. And I would be prepared for someone to do the same to me.
Going down to the sun lounges on holiday and putting your towel down hours before you're going to go to the pool.
To be honest, if they want to do that, fine. I just can't be bothered I just cannot be bothered to think that far ahead about anything.
Morning sex before brushing your teeth. But you don't have to kiss.
No, I'm a morning sex person.
Are you?
Yeah. So
I don't like to be touched in the
morning.
You
don't have to look at each other.
That's why she's the ultimate hun. Are you aware of your hunship?
Yeah,
Yeah. Eating leftovers for breakfast?
I don't really do that now, but when you've had a skinful the night before, it's de rigueur. Yeah.
Cold pizza.
Yeah.
Having favourites on Loose Women.
You're always going to have favourites at work, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're going to have favourites that you like to work
you
with.
You can keep it under your hat, though, don't you? You don't need to make everyone know.
Don't need to make it public. I don't think anyone would know who my favourites are.
No.
Yeah, obviously.
Cancelling plans very last minute because you don't fancy it anymore.
Right, okay. I try not to make them in the first place because I don't like flaky people.
I know.
So I try to think. I saw this little thing on Instagram called Depressed Chicken. It's like this little cartoon thing. And Depressed Chicken's friend goes, do you fancy going out Saturday and we'll grab some dinner? And Chicken goes, yes. I won't on Saturday, though. Because you say, oh, my God, that sounds amazing. And then Saturday comes and you think, why have I said that I'd go out? Because it's not just as I get older, I just think it's happening. I like staying in more. So I try to rethink before I just go, oh, my God, that would be amazing.
Yes.
Because I don't like letting people down, and especially not last minute. I don't like it to happen to me.
Denise, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
You are the ultimate hun. Everyone. Denise Wells.
Thank you.